Greetings in the name of our Lord. Welcome to Tony Brew Ministries, the old time preaching from God's Word. Here's a sermon entitled, Encourage Him.
The Lord spoke to Moses and told him to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses didn't want to go. He said, Lord, I can't do that. They won't listen to me. The people won't listen to me. Pharaoh won't listen to me. Besides, I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. I stutter. Lord, you know I've always had this problem. God said, I'll be with you. You go. And he convinced him to go and to show the miracles before Pharaoh. And he went, and God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses went into the wilderness with the children of Israel. And he went up on the mountain and was with the Lord, and God showed him how to build the tabernacle. And he came down from the mountain, and the people had sinned against God by making a golden calf, worshiping the golden calf. And Moses became angry, threw down the commandments, and broke the rocks. They say they've been breaking them ever since, but actually they started breaking them long before he threw the rocks down. We started in the Garden of Eden and been doing it ever since. Moses goes back up on the mountain, and he entreats the Lord, please God, forgive your people, do not destroy them. And by the time Moses got down this time, he had been in the presence of God so much that his heart and life were changed. Moses was not the same when he came down from the mountain. His face shone. And not only did they see a physical glory on Moses, but he never was the same. He didn't look at those people the same way that he did to start with. He told God, I don't even like them. They stink. They look like slaves. I can't talk. And all kind of excuses he gives God. But by the time he gets down from that mountain the second time, the glory of God has permeated him so much that his whole aspect is changed. That is what happens in the new covenant, born again, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your life will never be the same again. You have gotten a hold of something, and something has gotten a hold of you to where you'll never be the same again. Amen. Moses now is interceding for the people, and he's begging God to forgive their sins, and he's putting up with all these things that are going on in the wilderness. So that leads us to Numbers chapter 27, verse 12, in a session that we're calling Encourage Him. We need encouragement from God's Word today. Moses is encouraged to encourage Joshua and encourage the children of Israel. You and I today are encouraged to encourage each other. We need encouragement. Our world needs encouragement, but they cannot continue living in sin. You cannot be encouraged in sin. You've got to be encouraged out of sin. Numbers 27, 12, the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me and the water before their eyes, that is, the water of Meribah and Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, the water of strife in the holy place. You better be careful when you start having strife in the holy place. God doesn't take a little liking to those who cause strife in the holy place. The waters of Meribah in Kadesh, the strife in the holy place. You did not sanctify me before their eyes, even though I sanctified myself before their eyes at the waters of strife. I told you to speak to the rock, and you became so angry with the children of Israel that you smote the rock twice. We talked about that before. The rock was not smitten but once. And when Moses struck the rock twice, he disqualified and did away with a type of Christ. Christ is the rock that is smitten, that was smitten. But he was only smitten once. He'll never be smitten again. Amen. Glory be to his precious name. Amen. When he comes back again, he's not coming to be smitten. He's not coming to be spat upon. He's not coming to be crucified. When he comes back again, he's coming to rule and reign in power and glory. That's why, Moses, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land, because you rebelled against me at the waters of Meribah in Kadesh, in the holy place. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Lord, if I can't go, there has to be somebody that you will set over the congregation, which will go in and out before them, which will lead them in and bring them out, and which will keep them from being like sheep scattered on the mountains without a shepherd. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that yes, the church needs pastors, we need leaders, and we need people, but I want you to know, and I will say it unequivocally today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that no born-again believer is without a shepherd. You always have a shepherd. The good shepherd is always with you. You don't have to worry and wonder about like a sheep with no shepherd. You always got the shepherd. Amen. The shepherd knows you and you know him, and he leads you in and he brings you out where you can find good pasture. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We always have a shepherd. The Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Let him know what he's about to take on. Let him know that this charge is for him. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. You will put some of your honor. That word honor, there's several variations of it. Kavod, honor or glory. The honor sometimes that we try to give people ends up being not what God really wanted them to have. The glory of God is the Old Testament word. Variation is, one of them is kavod, which means heaviness or glory or honor. When God puts his glory and honor upon you, you're born again. And when you're born again, you have the glory of God upon you. You have the honor of God upon you. And I want you to put some of your honor, that glory that they saw when you came down from the mountain, I want you to put some of that on him, that the congregation will know that the same God who is with you is with him, and they will be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, at his word shall they come in, both he, that is Joshua, and all the congregation of Israel with him, even all the congregation. It won't be like me and you, Moses, that I talk to you face to face. That Joshua will stand before the high priest. He has God and government on his side. When you got God and government on your side, you got a good thing going. And I want you to know, Moses, that he will ask counsel of Eleazar, who will give him counsel after the judgment of Urim. Urim and Thummim is like glory and perfection, light and perfection. It had to do with the breastplate that the priest wore. And these special stones were in the breastplate, and the light would shine upon them. And some people even have said that it gets close to divination. The only problem is they think that it's divination according to magic and superstition. But this is divination controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's a whole lot different when God is involved. The judgment of Urim. God will show you what to do. He will ask counsel, and the priest will tell you what you ought to do. When you listen to God, everything's going to be all right. As long, the king said in the book of the Kings, as long as he did what God said to do, the Lord made him to prosper. As long as you do what God says, as long as you put God first, God will make you to prosper. This judgment of Urim, there's, and you'll forgive me for using this example, but the judgment in America today is not the judgment of Urim, it's more like the judgment of urine. That's what Washington is being exposed to and experiencing right now. It's so full of it. Evil and confusion and controversy. It results in killing in our streets and looting and marching and demonstrating and uneasiness and upheaval, and nobody is ever satisfied with anything. That's not the judgment that God wanted. God wanted this priestly judgment, this priestly counsel, to always be consulted, and he will lead them. The congregation will be blessed. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. One thing that Moses did not do, thank God, was to say, "Now, Joshua, you just went behind the ears, boy. If you had come up when I come up," and you know all the spiel, you've heard it before, la-di-da-di-da-di-da. "And now that you've gotten at the age you are, you're telling your children and your grandchildren now, when I was coming up, la-di-da-di-da-di-da." Moses could have said, "Boy, you never make it, you old strapping thing. You just went behind the ears." God said, "Don't do that." God said, "You lay your hands on him. You encourage him." The fact is, and preachers have this problem, they don't think anybody can do anything like they do. I want to tell you a secret. Not only can they do it like you do, nobody wants to do it like you do. The fact is, some people can do it better than you do, and that's what you have your problem at. Because nobody is good enough for some people. No matter what you do, "Well, that's all right, but you could have done so and so." You're never good enough. I want you to know that when you do your best, when you're born again, Jesus says you're good enough. He makes you accepted in the beloved. Hot dog, hallelujah. He makes you accepted in the beloved. You don't have to wake up every day wondering whether he's going to condemn you or not, whether you're good enough or not, whether you prayed enough, whether you fasted enough, whether you did this enough or did that enough. He just said, "Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Everything's going to be all right." Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37. "Also the Lord was angry with me," this is Moses talking to the children of Israel again, "he was angry with me for your sakes," or "because of you," is a good way to say it. Now Moses didn't back off of the children of Israel. That's one thing that's going in your favor when you get a little age on you, you kind of say what you want to. People either listen to it or overlook it. "Well, he's just an old man, you know, you got to overlook him." Moses laid it out, lock, stock, and barrel. He told them like it was, too. I want you bunch of rebels to know that it's because of you. The Lord was angry with me because of you, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. You will not be able to go into the promised land because of what happened at the waters of strife in the holy place. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him. Don't put down on him. Don't throw off on him. Encourage him. You better encourage him, because he is the one who's going to lead the people over. Moses wanted it. He wanted it more than a liver mush sandwich. I mean, he really wanted to be able to go into the promised land. He had a dream. He had a desire that he had led the children out of Egypt, and he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And if I could just get over Jordan River, if I could just see that goodly land, if I could just get there, spend a little time, and then I'll go home to be with the Lord. It didn't work out that way. Sometimes we have dreams and we have plans that do not work out the way that we think. Joshua, he will go in. Encourage him. He shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey. Oh, our little ones, they'll kill us with the sword. We can't go conquer Canaan. We can't do this. We can't do that. There's giants over there. They're going to kill all our children. And all those children, those little ones that you said would be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. They didn't know what was going on. They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. You didn't believe me. You forsook my promise. But those children, those who you were feeling sorry for, they're the ones who will rise up in your stead. They will take your place, and they will possess the land. If we don't do what God wants us to do, God will raise up a generation who will. Lord have mercy. If we don't believe God, God has the power to raise up a generation of our children and grandchildren who will. Chapter 3, verse 23. I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Moses had used this before the Lord before. He had come before the Lord, who was angry with Israel and wanting to destroy Israel. I'll destroy them in a moment. I'll come up in the midst of them in a moment and destroy them, and I'll raise up a better generation from you. And Moses said, Lord, please don't do that. The enemy will environ us all around. They'll make fun of you. And what will you do for your great name? Lord, you're a great God. And God said, okay, I'll repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. But surely they will fall dead in this wilderness, and I will raise up their children who were innocent in that day, but they will rise up and they will believe me. And Moses said, I besought God. I said, God, you're a great God. You are that God who does all these things. You're a mighty God. There's no God that can do according to your works and according to your might. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. Lord, let me go. God, you can even change my name to Cana. Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I? Lord, just can I go? Let me go. Just let me go see the land. But the Lord was wroth with me. He was talking about being angry. Now he's wroth. That's really mad. He was wroth with me for your sakes, because of you, people. You would not, that is, he would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. That's good enough, Moses. That's enough of that. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Moses, we've talked about this before. You've asked me over and over. Don't ask me about it anymore. Apostle Paul, I besought the Lord thrice that this thorn in the flesh might depart from me, which, by the way, was not sickness. Paul did not have a sickness that God would not heal him from. He had a thorn in the flesh that the Bible plainly tells us what it was. He plainly tells us what it was. He plainly tells us what it was sent to do. And he plainly tells us all about it. It was a thorn in the flesh which was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was not blindness. It was not deafness. It was not sickness. Paul did not have a sickness that God would not heal him of. Why would God make provision for our healing and send Jesus to the cross for our healing and then refuse to heal the Apostle Paul? That's not like the God I serve. God is not a one day today and a one day tomorrow God. He's the same all the time. Paul said, I besought the Lord three times at least that it might depart from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. This thorn in the flesh was given to Paul to keep him humble because of the abundance of the revelations. Preachers have said that they got Paul's thorn in the flesh, but the fact is they don't have any abundance of revelation. They lay around sick and whining and dining and pining all the time, and they claim to have Paul's thorn. You don't need Paul's thorn if you ain't got Paul's revelation. They didn't have it. And God, the only reason that God allowed this to be upon the Apostle Paul is to keep him in the place where he ought to be. It wasn't to keep him sick, it was to keep him humble. God tells Moses here, let it suffice you. Let this satisfy you. Don't talk to me anymore about this. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward, northward, southward, and eastward. That's north, south, east, and west, and over the cuckoo's nest, and everywhere, just all around you. Look in all directions, and behold it with thine eyes. You can look at it, but thou shalt not go over this Jordan. There were several times when God told Moses, get up into this mountain. But there was always something else to do. He would say, build the tabernacle and lead Israel to the mountain of God and then go up into the top of this mountain. You'll be gathered to your people. He started out by telling Moses, the days approach that thou must die. It's getting close. And then Midian, they had a problem with the Midianites. We don't have time to go into it all now, but Midian was one of those children, the half-breeds of Abraham. You know, when, don't tell everybody I told you this, but when God fixed Abraham and Sarah up that night, you know, where they could have a baby? When he fixed Abraham up, he'd really done a good job on him. Because when Sarah died, Abraham took another wife named Keturah. And you better watch from Keturah because all these other babies were born. All you got to do is just read your Bible. You don't have to listen to as the world turns, as the stomach churns. All you got to do is just read God's Word. Dum, ba, bum, bum, bum. And you got all the adventure you need. One of those sons that were born is named Midian. And from them came the Midianites, and they were always in trouble. Just like all these other descendants of Abraham who are not the real descendants of Israel, all these others has always caused trouble, and that's why you got the Iranians, you got the Iraqs, you got all these other descendants, and there's nothing wrong with people. Jesus loves all the people, but the nations themselves, from them has come all this trouble. There's animosity against God's people even to this day. They hate Israel. They hate the Jews. The old hatred of Lot still persists. And it's still alive. And so Midian, from these Midianites, they caused Israel to fall into heathen worship and sexuality. And from that, God says to Moses, avenge the children of the Midianites, and then you will be gathered to your people. One more thing, Moses. Joshua's not quite ready for it yet. You're an old man, Moses, but just one more campaign, one more thing. There's always something else to do. And finally, God says, you're not going to be able to go over Jordan. charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. You'll see it, but you won't be able to go over. Encourage him. The worst thing Moses could have done was to discourage Joshua. Say, you're not going to make it. You don't have the relationship with God that I have. You hadn't been around Israel as long as I have. You didn't go before Pharaoh like I did. There's all these things that Moses could have said. Moses could have stuck around the camp to see what Joshua was doing. Always hanging around. Supposed to be retired, but he's always hanging around to make sure somebody's going to do something like he thought they ought to do it. Moses could have done that, but God said, you charge him, you encourage him, you strengthen him. And by the time you get to Deuteronomy chapter 31, now Moses continues to talk. He just quite cannot relinquish, can't quite let it go. After all, Moses had pastored this church for over 40 years, and he couldn't quite let it go. He couldn't relinquish. God said, you're going to have to go. Go up into the top of this mount and be gathered to your fathers, just like your brother Aaron was. Moses went and speaks these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Oh, Moses, what's wrong with your throat? I can't go over Jordan. You know it was bad. Moses wanted to go, and he gets to this point right at the end, and you know, you've heard the dramatization of it, I'm sure, how he just chokes up right there. And then he thinks about God, and he remembers, I've got to obey God. If I've obeyed him in my life, I've got to obey him now. He gets his composure back together, and he said, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Now he's determined. He will do what God says. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. Now Moses is determined that he will see it through, and that Joshua will be victorious. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, nor be dismayed. And that's the word I want to give you today in the name of the Lord. Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. God will be with you. God will not fail you. God will not forsake you. He will be your God. He will not turn away from you. Just because your mother is gone, just because your husband has died, just because someone has left your side, just because a preacher gets old, just because someone has to retire, just because a pastor may leave town, just because, there's even a song written in just because. It doesn't matter. God is still with you. Verse 23, he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. I will be with thee. And then in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Might as well forget it all and go home. Play turkey shoot. No, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You got a job to do, Joshua. My servant Moses is dead. He can't tell you what to do anymore. He can't watch over your shoulder anymore. I used to hate it when I was working at the radio station. My manager was always in there, act like he was doing something in the control room, and I felt like he was watching over my shoulder all the time. I used to think, won't you get your hind part out of town somewhere? Some of that money in the petty cash, go on, spend it, do something. Seemed like to me I was always better to do a better job when he wasn't around. Hearing all my mistakes, which are very many, by the way, and I always could do better when he wasn't around, poking over my shoulder. Now Moses is not here to criticize. He wasn't very bad about that anyway. But you know how it is. When the big boy's around, the boss man, you think you're going to mess up. And some people straighten up when the rib comes around. Some people act worse when he comes around. I don't know. But anyway, Moses is not there anymore. He's gone. He's done what he could do. Moses, my servant, is dead. But you arise because you got work to do. You can go in and possess the land. Joshua was not the man that Moses was. But neither was Moses the man that Joshua was. Moses was not a warrior like Joshua was. Moses was really not the one to give the enemy into the hand of Israel like Joshua did. Joshua was a war commander. Joshua was a war leader. Moses was the spiritual leader who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He had to be the one to do that. But Joshua was the one to do what he did. Moses was not expected to do Joshua's thing, and Joshua was not expected to do what Moses did. You're not expected to do what someone else should do, and perhaps they're not expected to do what you should do, but there are things as believers that we can all do. Jesus is not so much concerned about what my job is and what your job is. When you get to heaven, he's not going to say, did you go to a Pentecostal church, or did you go to a Baptist church, or did you go to a Methodist church? When you get to heaven, he's going to say, come in, thou good and faithful servant. What did you do for the Lord? That's what's important. And when you get there, you will receive not a Joshua reward, not a Moses reward, but you will receive the reward that is coming to you. And there are things as believers that all of us can do. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a singer. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be an elder. Jesus didn't say nothing about no deacon. He didn't say nothing about no elder, no bishop. He said to go and preach and spread the gospel to every creature. Have power over the power of the enemy, speak in new tongues, resist the power of evil, lay hands on the sick, and expect them to get well. That's for all believers. That's not for some certain priesthood or some certain pastoral thing. This thing about preachers baptizing people, I know that's the way our churches are set up, but Jesus said, you go teach them, you make disciples of them, and you baptize them. That's the Great Commission. Encourage him. Encouragement today is that God is on your side. God is on that throne. Jesus is still the head of the church. Jesus is the pastor of the church. Children of Israel, you don't need a king. You have rejected your God from ruling over you, and they had trouble ever since and after they did that. You don't need a king. They didn't need an earthly king when they had the King of Kings. We don't need an earthly man. Moses never tried to be the guy. Some of them tried to make him look like he's the guy, he's the one, and he never tried to be that way. He said, I want God to put his spirit on all his people. I want all the Lord's people to be prophets. I want all the Lord's people to be blessed. Moses never tried to be the guy. Joshua never tried to be the guy. He told the children of Israel, he said, how long are you going to sit here slack and not possess the land that the Lord your God gave to you? You're looking to me to do everything. I'm not the guy. You go in there and take advantage. You go possess the land. We don't have to wait for a preacher to stick his long, skinny finger in our face and tell us what to do. We got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he'll tell us what to do.
Amen.
And if God is not God enough to lead the church, then he's not God like he said he was. But the God I serve, he can lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He can lead the church into the promised land of heaven.
Yeah.
We thank you, our Father, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can encourage each other with your word, just like Moses encouraged Joshua. Help us to encourage each other with the word of God, to encourage our children, our grandchildren, encourage people around us to get right with God, not so they can be like us, but so they can be like Jesus. And Lord, hopefully if they're like us, it would point them to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. Help us, Lord, to be more like you and help many people to be touched and blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Old Time Preaching from God's Word, a sermon entitled, Encourage Him. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.